Maryland has declared itself the epicenter of cybersecurity, or at least Senator Barbara Mikulski has. She helped establish the Maryland Cybersecurity Roundtable. That move was recommended by the Federal Facilities Advisory Board last year. Len Mudispaw is the CEO of KEYW Corporation and president of the newly formed Maryland Cybersecurity Roundtable, and he joins us now. Mr. Mudispaw, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking.
So tell us, what is the roundtable and what is it going to do?
It starts with, as you said, Senator Mikulski and Governor O'Malley asking us, and by us, I mean a small group of us who are known to be in cyber, to have one forum, one place where they could go for to catch up on innovation, to gather people together, to share ideas. It's kind of like the NASA roundtable that's been in action for quite some time. And from a constituent standpoint, if I may call it that, the government folks, the industry folks, academic folks, what we're trying to do is put together one place where we can collaborate and coordinate activities, try and do such things as workforce development, help hire more veterans and train veterans, share ideas, technology transfer, and those sorts of things. So rather than have a number of disparate groups around the state all trying to do that, we're trying to create one place that can coordinate all those efforts.
So we know that Senator Mikulski considers Maryland the epicenter for cybersecurity, but I think some of her colleagues from Virginia might beg to differ. Give us a sense of the scope of Maryland's assets.
I will do that, but first I got to say we certainly will work with and do work with our friends across the river and in Northern Virginia. So we're not trying to say that we're any better or different than them. But in Maryland, we start with the federal assets, such as the National Security Agency. And back when Bob Gates was Secretary of Defense, he said, if you want to know anything about cyber, it comes out of that area over there, i.e. the National Security Agency. Then you got the National Institutes of Standards and Technology. At the kickoff last week of the Cyber Roundtable, not only did we have Senator Mikulski and Governor O'Malley, but Pat Gallagher, Director of NIST, was there. Deborah Plunkett, who is the Director of Information Assurance of NSA, was there. Representatives of the Cyber Command were there. So those are federal agencies that are the forefront, really, of cybersecurity for the country. And then we have a number of companies that have been spawned out of that, the technology that comes out of that. I have my little spiel I do, which talks about the Blue Cube, which is how Silicon Valley got started years ago, the Air Force facility out there. And then I say the Black Cube today, and it doesn't take much imagination to know what the Black Cube is today, if you've driven down the parkway and seen NSA. And so the shift, we believe, is back here in terms of the epicenter, I guess I'll call it. I'm not demeaning anything going on in Silicon Valley or Northern Virginia. We just have to have this strong focus out here in Maryland.
Now, I was reading your bio, and you worked at the NSA. I guess you'd say Robert S. McNamara was Secretary of Defense when you first started there way back. And so at that time, cybersecurity as a topic really didn't exist. So this is a pretty fast-moving target. What do you think is the next big challenge here for the roundtable?
Well, first, let me comment on the sort of the history of cyber. Cyber became a buzzword a few years ago. I have a cartoon I use when I'm out talking to investors, which shows an airplane and dollar bills floating all around it, and the pilot says, we must be in cyberspace. Everybody thinks that's where the money is today, and certainly is. But my company, for example, as well as some of the other companies, has been doing what we call today cyber for quite some time for the intelligence business and for the military. So it's an overnight success in the sense of the publicity that surrounds it. It's not something that's going to go away. So in terms of what's the next challenge, first off of the cyber roundtable, we're really just getting started and organizing. Last week had the first gathering of folks, and now we're going to be bringing in more people and tackling those issues that I mentioned to you earlier. So I'm afraid for the near in the sense of 5 to 10 years, cyber is going to be the focus for the country. There's a lot of threats out there, and we've got a lot of long ways to go to tackle them.
We're speaking with Len Mudispaw. He is CEO of KEYW. He's also president of the new Maryland Cybersecurity Roundtable. So has the roundtable set any strategic goals yet?
If if I dignified anything I did by calling it a strategic goal, people would laugh at me. So we together have said we want to tackle those issues. At the roundtable last week, for example, the hiring and training of veterans was a very strong emphasis, and workforce development. So I think in terms of goals, what we want to do is, kind of sounds motherhoodish, but make sure that we are, for example, training people to be useful in cyber. There's a lot of college programs out there that talk about cyber, and the graduates come out and they can talk about policy, but they can't actually do cyber. My company trains the folks who are going into cyber command, so it takes a great deal of the right kind of training. So in terms of goals, I think it's workforce development, training, and technology transfer, and from a federal government standpoint, that's very important. That is, they need all the ideas we can give them to deal with these very wicked problems, we call them, and we need to be able to commercialize those kinds of program problems, solutions. So those are the kinds of things we're going to be trying to work on first.
Now, speaking of cyber command, the new cyber commander, Mike Rogers, said the other day that he's been saying it, actually, that they are looking to get 6,000 new people trained in cyber, you know, by 2016, which presumably is how long he expects to serve. You know, it's kind of a two-year type of deal. Is that possible to do that?
It is. Again, I'll just use my company as an example. We do a great deal of that training right now, and we're expanding to a new facility to accommodate that. I think the hardest problem for the cyber command will be finding the right people and getting them through the training. And the training to do it right can take at least 6 months. So it's a difficult task, and frankly, I don't know why the Admiral picked the two-year time frame other than the rush of trying to get people in to do the work. It's doable, but it isn't going to be easy.
And you said in the beginning that part of the reason why you launched this is because the politicians at the state and federal level were looking for some resource, some place to answer their questions. So what would you say you and your other members who are really steeped in cybersecurity want these politicians to know? After all, Congress is always sort of considering a cybersecurity bill of sorts.
We're very lucky in Maryland to have Senator Mikulski, for example, not only because of her positions, but one of which is on the Senate Intelligence Committee. She comes out to our office a couple of times a year and always blows away our people with her knowledge of cyber and the kinds of questions to ask. Governor O'Malley spent a couple hours out here with us in my office again, learning all the technology and so on. So what we want out of them is to be understanding of the current issues and in some depth, if you will, because all they get in their staff meetings and their committee meetings is the proverbial 50,000 feet high kind of discussion. So we want them to be knowledgeable about it, so when they're dealing with the legislation and with these issues, that they really know what's going on.
And understanding that this is a moving target, though, what are some of the things that someone purporting or hoping to be a cybersecurity professional at the operational level needs to know? Do they have to be programmers? Do they need to know both ends of a Cisco router? What does it really need to be trained in?
Well, there's a role for everybody in there, from software developers to hardware integrators. So I think if they're coming right out of college, for example, just starting with the basic knowledge of computer sciences and engineering is the place to start. We don't believe that you can walk into the field and start being very productive on day one. The problems are so difficult, particularly in dealing with very sophisticated adversaries. So whether you're right out of the best college in Maryland, Virginia, or MIT, or whatever you're going to be, it takes some working with senior people, experienced people who've been battling these problems for years to be productive. Likewise, if you're a four-year college graduate being retrained, and there are programs to do that, yes, you can get a certificate in Cisco and so on, but then delving into it and getting the real on-the-job training is what counts, so which is part of what we're trying to do, which is to have such programs, mentoring kinds of programs, to get people started. And in our business, the national security kind of business, where it requires clearances, to have mechanisms to get the people going through the clearance process while they're being trained.
And I just wanted to follow on with the technical training. I imagine in the post-Edward Snowden and others era, there must be a character portion of the training, at least in the screening, that has to be done also.
Well, certainly there is, and for the clearance process, it's probably more rigorous than it was and more restrictive than it was, but nonetheless, we're trying to work our way through that.
And do you have academic partners as well as other industry partners?
Yes, we do. A key part of what we're trying to accomplish is to have to work with the universities in the area to make sure they are coordinated, and that's one of the major drivers that Senator Mikulski gave us, which was rather than have the colleges compete with each other, have them working together and perhaps specialize in different parts of the cyber world. So absolutely, there will be a special group within the Cyber Roundtable with the academics and with people in the industry saying, this is what we need, train people to do this.
And what's first on your agenda?
Well, first, we've just got to have the next meeting and get people moving and organized. There's been a small committee of about eight of us, I think, doing the organizing. After last week's roundtable, we had a number of people volunteer to come in and help us. And this is a volunteer kind of organization. I don't need one more thing to do in my day job, but when Senator Mikulski and the governor call, I jump in. So we have others who are willing to help us. We're going to organize around these topics I just raised, workforce development, the universities, and so on, and to get organized next.